Ship in Hong Kong, and I make my way over to Tibet, and I get on as a looper at a course over there in Himalayas.
A looper?
A looper. You know, a caddy, a looper. Jock. So I tell them I'm a pro jock, and who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama himself, the 12th son of the Lama, the flowing robes, the grace, bald. Striking. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter, the Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga La Gunga.
What does that mean?
Gunga La Gunga? On your deathbed, you'll receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is nice. Hey, it really depressed me, Matt. I almost wish you hadn't told me Harold Ramis died until after the show.
Sorry.
Boy, everybody's all dragged down.
DJ took that kind of rough,
he
didn't
did. He? I'm giving him a verbal hug. Tell him, you know what, if he gets over to Landers Ford in Benton, Arkansas, I bet he'll feel better about himself. Nothing like an F-150 to perk you up. You know how many videos of Harold Ramis movies you can stick in the back of an F-150? And the number's ridiculous. It's almost limitless. It's America's favorite brand, too, Ford, F-O-R-D. A four-letter F-word that is a special one that every parent wants their kid repeating and driving for the rest of their lives. That's right. If you like the Accord, the Camry, the Altima, let me get you in a Ford Fusion. CR-V, RAV4 Rogue, check out the Ford Escape, folks. All the Ford vehicles you want. The ones you need. At the dealership that's big enough to serve and small enough to carry Landers Ford and Benton, 501-315-4700. It's the big city selection, the small town atmosphere you want. Kelly and Mike and the whole staff, before, during, and after the sale, here to help. 501-315-4700. It's Landers Ford. Online at Landers.com. 1253, a couple of news and notes to end the day. Barry Bonds returning to the Giants, Pat. Not as a player, but as a hitting instructor.
You say to yourself, who better to do it?
Yep.
As we've seen, though, in the past, a lot of times, the most talented of the talented guys have a difficult time of teaching that.
That's like, how do you do that? And he says, I don't know. I just do it. Same way that Michael Jordan probably had a hard time coaching up guys.
Magic Johnson had a tough time.
That's right.
Although Bird had a pretty successful career.
As a coach and a GM.
Usually don't see that, yeah.
And a player. Yeah, he was good at everything.
Yeah. And eating wedding cake.
Yeah.
Did you read that?
That was a great story. Bonds, one of the greatest hitters ever, before the drugs and afterwards. And the thing that I will always say about Barry Bonds is he was an MVP in Major League Baseball, hitting doubles and stealing bases, and then he became an MVP by hitting home runs.
Yeah.
He did it two different ways, and understandably he did one of them while he was taking things he shouldn't have been taking. But I will say, in my book, this is step one in the right direction. Look how much McGuire repaired his image by saying, I'm sorry, and coming back into the world of Major League Baseball. And it is such a farce,
yep,
and so hypocritical that they have shunned Pete Rose the way they have, and they are accepting of these guys. My thing is, live and let live, and the whole thing about Pete Rose is, he didn't cheat as a player. He cheated as a manager. And he's going in as a player, not as a manager. He wasn't a Hall of Fame manager. He's a Hall of Fame player. I have a huge issue with that.
I don't feel... Maybe there's still some people out there that feel so strongly about what Pete Rose did that they don't want him in. I don't know why I don't, but I just feel like he's paid whatever punishment he's needed to pay, and he should be allowed in. I don't think by letting him in, you're going to see a rash of players and managers betting on games.
I don't have to have him back actively in baseball per se, but to not let him in the Hall of Fame is silly.
That's what I'm saying.
Went to a basketball game over the weekend, went to see the Memphis Grizzlies, and I really thought that I would see a Clippers high-flying attack and beautiful show, and I did not see that. Instead, I saw a great defense by the Memphis Grizzlies, and kid's name is James Johnson. Is that what I said?
You're in love with this guy.
Pat, you got to go see this kid. He's worth the price of admission. Yeah, he's a fourth-year player out of Wake Forest. I've never seen him play before. The kid is amazing. So fun to watch. He's a high-flying dunk artist. The other end of the spectrum, you got Zach Randolph, who's Mr. Consistency, but not the sexiest player in the league.
Gasol going to the rim. Lost the handle. Goes to Randolph. He lays it in. The alley-oop to Gasol went through his hands, fell right to Zach Randolph, and Zebo lays it home.
Zebo didn't play too many minutes the other night, and he wasn't really in foul trouble. I don't know what the deal was. I'm assuming that they give those guys a break now and again. But if the season were to end today, Memphis would be on the outside looking in. They are the ninth team in the West right now. Clippers lead their division 38-20. They got a big win yesterday. I think Crawford had like 40 points almost. Oklahoma City, they beat Oklahoma City in the process. 43-14, best record in the NBA. Over in the East, Indiana at 42-13, best record in the East. Miami 40-14, won yesterday over Chicago without LeBron. And then in the Atlantic, the dismal Atlantic division, Toronto leads at 31-25.
Oh, God.
31-25. Memphis is fourth in its division, and they're 31-24. It shows you. It's crazy. Also, in the much ballyhooed story, Jason Collins, again, if you needed a gay 7'1" guy to get you 3 points and a couple of rebounds a game, there aren't too many better options. Jason Collins is the guy. He came back and contributed very little, as he did throughout his career. I thought to myself, you know, you mentioned this, you know, there's certainly some familial ties there, know, kid knows him well, you know, he's a long time.
Played with a few of those
and
guys.
I looked at his numbers, I'm thinking, this guy's terrible. And then I looked at his brother, I'm thinking, oh, well, yeah, I guess they would have got his brother, but it wouldn't have got as much fanfare because, you know, he's straight and everything. His brother's stats are like half of his. Jason's twice the player his brother is.
There's a list of, let's say, five reasons why you sign him. The top of that list is
7'1" tall.
No, they want him to be the first openly gay player to play in a major sport before Michael Sam does it in the NFL. I guarantee you that was their number one thing. And then they said, oh, yeah, well, he's 7'1". He's familiar with our locker room. He's familiar with our players. He played with Jason Kidd, played for the Nets for 7 years.
The NBA is so progressive.